With the Four Nations face-off in the rearview mirror, we are right back in the thick of things in the National Hockey League. Welcome into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. This is our national hour. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Renaud Lavoie, hockey reporter for TVA Sports. Lots of talk around the National Hockey League as we wrapped up our Leaf Edition hour. We got into a few things, including Matthew Tkachuk's injury. Paul Maurice spoke on that, and we'll get to Renaud to dive a little deeper into it. But some teams paid a hefty price for a lot of fun during the Four Nations tournament. Did anyone pay a bigger price than maybe the Florida Panthers with Matthew Tkachuk out? What we believe may be a long-term situation. I can tell you that the word on the street is he tore a groin. To what degree, we don't know. I don't know. There are partial tears. There's partial tears. There's complete ruptures. There's first grade, which could cost you 2 to 3 weeks. There's a second grade that could cost you maybe 2 months.
What's the one that cost you 7 weeks and gets you to playoffs game one?
Grade three, baby.
April 19th.
Grade threes.
Call it a hunch.
Grade threes, 4 months possibly.
Oh,
jeez. So, I don't know. I hope the tournament was worth it for...
Oh, yeah.
For Florida Panthers.
Oh, maybe not for them.
Florida Panthers
fans.
Sent...
Their fans.
Most of their team. They sent 8 players to that event. So they had the highest risk. And, yeah, I'm sure looking around at Ottawa, Detroit sent 0.
Do you think...
Ottawa sent 3.
Do you think playing in that game, like that he further... It was already really bad before he played in that game on the
when
final?
When did he play? 5 minutes?
I think it was just 6? Over 6, yeah.
Just over 6?
Didn't play after the first period.
You couldn't find two more emotional guys than the brothers, right? And Matthew and Brady. And, you know, I probably went a little over the top last week, you know, when I mentioned that it was a little selfish of him. But
listen, Kipper, let's not judge each other on what we said last week. Last week was an emotional time.
I like Matthew.
Yeah.
Brady's learning how to control his emotions and be a leader. I think there's lots of growth there for him, too. Two guys I would love to have on a hockey club. But in hindsight, not a chance Matthew Tkachuk should have played Thursday night.
Well, hey, there are injuries that you can't injure further by playing with them. And then there's groins, which is the complete opposite of that.
Yeah,
that's like any getting up from a chair too fast, miming a golf swing while talking to a friend. I mean, it can get worse at any time. It's the definition of an injury that needs rest and needs to heal before you push it again. So I'm sure Tkachuk was not cooperative with the medical staff, but ideally the medical staff would say, you have a groin injury. We can't have you playing. You can't play.
Yeah.
But then I guess it's not your player.
The emotion, something took over.
Sullivan after the game said that, like, you know, he's their emotional leader. We wanted to have, even if he couldn't go, we wanted to have him on the bench. I'm sure Paul Maurice is like, oh, did you?
Yeah.
Did you want to have him out there?
Also in the press box, Kyle Connor is just like playing mini sticks. Ting, ting. Like, yeah. Could have been out there helping.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Good player.
Connor's so good.
Connor. He's so
good. By the way, Jets talk time. What a hockey team. They've won 9 straight games, I believe that's plural. Like, love Morrissey, love Connor. Hellebuck is best goalie. This team has a very real Stanley Cup chance this year.
83 and, points from 57 games this year for them.
They are humming. No one even close.
And they're looking, they're looking for depth too, right?
Yeah, they'll get better. The deadline here, they'll add a little something, something. I think only Washington is anywhere near them for the President's Trophy, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
They are buzzing.
Brock Nelson, you think he's going to sign in
Love
New
that
York?
For them.
He's a, think, what is he, Minnesota? Where is he?
He's from War Road, I think, isn't he? He's a Minnesota guy.
He's close.
Yeah, that counts. I'll
it's give like you home.
That. Sure. Home-esque. Yeah, that would work. I would love that for Winnipeg. Anyway.
All right. Waiting on Renaud Lavoie to join us, Sammy. We got him, or are we we're setting him up. All right, we'll give him a few seconds to get settled in, and then we'll bring him in.
We got him.
Rennie, how are you, buddy?
I'm really good. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. You know that.
Did you catch your breath on the weekend, or did the NHL schedule not allow that?
NHL schedule doesn't allow it, and it was, you know what? It was a good thing. I was in Ottawa for the Senators and the Canadiens game, and I'm telling you, it was a really good hockey game. The pace of that game was unbelievable, especially in the first period. I like the way the Montreal Canadiens played in that game. Obviously, there's tons of injuries right now with the Ottawa Senators, which is an issue. But my understanding is quite everyone could be back Wednesday for their next game Wednesday. I believe that the majority of the injured players are going to be back, which is a good news. So we'll see how the Senators are going to play. Between now and the end of the season, hopefully they're going to make the playoffs. And for the Montreal Canadiens, hopefully they're still going to battle for it. That's the hope right now.
Rennie, you touched on injuries. Let's start with the injuries coming out of Four Nations faceoff here. Yeah. Before we get into specifics on players or what's happening with the respective clubs, where do you think we are in terms of moving forward here on the intensity and in the future, putting guys at risk to come out of the next 25 games of the remainder of the season? You think clubs will be comfortable moving forward with the risks? Will the players be comfortable with the risks? What are your thoughts coming out of this thing?
Well, you know what? One thing for sure, this was an NHL event, the Four Nations face-off. An NHL event, the players were involved emotionally, physically. Some of them are injured. My understanding is even before, the games on Monday, so a week ago, I had a report that there's a lot of injured players on teams that are playing that tournament. But at the same time, it's an NHL tournament. So the NHL and the NHLPA are going to share the money that they made during that tournament. And my belief is they're happy. They made a lot of money during that tournament, which is a good thing. My concern is next year. I understand that the players wants to go to the Olympics, but the bottom line is you need to shut down the season for 2 weeks, 2 weeks and a half. Some players are going to come back injured again. And for what? What is the NHL getting in return? Like nothing. And I understand and that the players wants to go. They want to play in the Olympics, and I agree with them. That's the thing to do. But if you're on the on the NHL side, if you're owner of or GM, you wonder why we're going to Italy. And I can understand to be honest with you, that both sides in this matter. I don't like to see players going down during a tournament for a bunch of time. I really don't like it, because at the end of the day, 10 days of really good hockey and like we had is fantastic, but there's the reality after that. The bubble is over, the bubble burst, and now we're looking at what's going on around the league right now. And we're like, that was fun, but what's the impact in the long run? And that's a question that a lot of people are asking right now.
You know, me personally, Rennie, I feel like the impact in the long run is going to be a good one. I feel like there's a lot of positive buzz around hockey, which is nice to have. But I get your point about the season, about teams, about ownership. And so this year I'll ask you, what are you hearing on this Matthew Tkachuk thing? Because as someone who follows the Leafs, that's pretty relevant.
It is relevant, really relevant. And it's in a way, you have to wonder why he played that last game. I would have preferred to see, other players in the lineup than him. And if he's saying, I want to be there, I want to play, or I want to be with the guys, okay, no problem. Be on the bench. Be a coach. You know, be a guy who's gonna, tell a few things to your teammates and try to motivate them if they need any motivation. I don't think so, but anyway, be there. okay, but in a suit, and let Kyle Connor play. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. Second thing, I think Paul Maurice today on the radio was crystal clear. He's going to miss some time. Hopefully he's going to be back at one point. Yeah, one point could be the playoffs. But what I reported on Saturday during the game is, you know, the rumbling right now and the concern right now in Florida is that he could miss the rest of the season. That his season could be over. I didn't report that he's not going to play during the playoffs. I just talk about the possibility that his season is over. There's still a window. There's still a chance that it won't be the case, but it was a concern on Saturday for the Panthers management. Now, there was some other tests today. Hopefully, the results are going to be positive for him and for the Panthers. Fingers crossed, no one wants to see Matthew Tkachuk out for a long time. This is not something good for the game. I think the game is better with Matthew Tkachuk in the lineup.
Yeah.
So hopefully things are going to be good for him. Maybe he's going to miss, I don't know, a couple of weeks. If it's the rest of the season, it will be the rest of the season, but hopefully he'll be ready for the playoffs.
Suspected groin tear,
yep,
is what I heard you getting those same rumblings.
So that happened Saturday night in Montreal, right? So that's close to, what now, 10 days ago? I don't understand why he played on Thursday. And he practiced on Wednesday. I saw him practice. He was only able to push on one leg. I understand. The guy wants to win. They want to be there for their country and all this. But, you know, you're putting your body in jeopardy here. And probably, you know, the chances for him to make it even worse were really low, but still, it's not a good look. Let's put it this way.
You're watching and listening to Rene Lavoie from TVA and NHL Network as a correspondent. Did you hear lots of talk between teams during the Four Nations? Was it quiet? Is it picked up as early as this weekend? What's the latest you're hearing? And as we close in on a major trade deadline day.
Yeah, it's coming, huh? It's right there in front of us. I think it was a quiet deadline, to be honest. Not a quiet deadline, but a quiet Four Nations tournament. You know, the GMs, they had time to make some phone calls. But the real question here is, who's a seller and who's not, right? Look at the Montreal Canadiens right now. Are they ready to pull the trigger and say this season is over? No, not really. They want to see what's going to happen tomorrow night against the Hurricanes. And on Thursday, the Sharks are in Montreal. And after that, they're traveling to Buffalo for a game on Saturday in Buffalo. And on Monday in Montreal against the Sabres again. These four games are huge for the Montreal Canadiens. Another thing here is Kent Hughes. Let's say a team is asking for Christian Dvorak. Hey, I'm going to give you a fifth-round pick. No, I'm not going to take a fifth-round pick. Not even a fourth-round pick. If that's the price that you're giving me, he's staying. The Montreal Canadiens, they have enough picks right now. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Canes are going to do. Hopefully they're going to win all their games and they're going to go to the deadline with some confidence. And if they're not in, well, maybe 2 points back and say, you know what, we're not going to trade for rental players because we have, in a way, rental players with Dvorak, with David Savard, with Armia, with Jake Evans. These are rental type of players that are already in the Montreal Canadiens lineup. But if they lose the majority of their next games, what's going to happen with Jake Evans if there's no extension for him? And obviously there's a lot of teams looking at him right now, hoping that he's going to be available. What is it going to cost? A first round pick? Really? I don't believe so. Is it going to be more a second round pick? If it's a second round pick, I believe that Kent Hughes is going to listen. But if we're talking about a fourth round pick or a fifth round pick, I believe the Canadians again are going to say, you know what, we're going to finish the season with Jake Evans, and we're it's going to give us more time to resolve his contract issues, and we'll see what's next for him. So I think that everyone needs to have an open mind right now, and if the Canes are thinking this way, there's probably a good majority of other teams are looking at the standing, like the Boston Bruins. Are they sellers mm-hmm. or buyers? That's not a big question. And I believe that if they're sellers, what's going to happen with their captain, Brad Marchand? Kipper, I won't rule out the possibility that Brad Marchand is not going to finish the season with the Bruins, even if my understanding is he doesn't want to go anywhere.
So let's talk a little bit more about that. There's a cluster of teams there with the Montreal Canadiens, Detroit, Ottawa, Columbus, Boston, the Rangers, yeah. the Islanders, and Philly are all kind of in a little pack there. It's funny, the Bruins are 1 point out of a playoff spot, and we on this show, before you came on, said they're missing the playoffs. Like, they're without yeah. McAvoy, they're without Lindholm.
Yeah.
If that's the case, do you expect Sweeney to get active and move? They have some very appealing assets, from Trent Frederick to Brandon Carlo, yeah. Charlie Coyle. Yeah. There's good players there.
Really good players. Really good players. We were mentioning Brad Marchand as a possibility. Let's say the Oilers are calling for Brad Marchand. What do you do? And if you're Brad Marchand, what do you do? You have a chance to go win a Stanley Cup in Edmonton with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Come on. I'm pumped just thinking about it. So the reality is, yes, the Boston Bruins, they have a lot of assets, and I don't believe that they're far away of being, really good contender eventually. Is it a retool on the fly? That maybe, I don't know. But at the end of the day, goaltending-wise, they're good. They have a really good decor. What's missing is probably a little more firepower up front. So if you can get rid of some salaries, open some cap space next year, the cap's going to go higher next season. You're looking at a possibility that the Boston Bruins are going to be relevant again, but they need to make the right decision. I believe July 1st, what they did was a big mistake, big, big, big mistake. You can't repeat a mistake like this one.
Rennie, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, for Vancouver Canuck fans, what the heck's going on with Petey? Elias Pettersson has not been exactly shot out of a cannon since the tournament ended here. How healthy is he? Is there a chance these trade rumors could start up again, or are we past that with less than 2 weeks to go?
You know what, Kipper? I'm looking at him right now. I'm looking at the Canucks. We're talking about a young player here, okay, who's supposed to be a better player than he's showing right now. Okay, we all know that. Is it time to panic? Is it time to say, you know what, we need to turn the page on him too? Already JT Miller was traded to the Rangers. If you're traded him, I think it's going to be a big, big blow for this franchise. I don't believe that there's a lot of team excited about him. I'm not saying that there's not some, there probably someone out there who's saying, you know what, I'm gonna give you, a high pick, and I'm gonna give you maybe a prospect that you're gonna like. But I believe that he's a better player than that. And if I'm the Canucks, I don't think I'm trading him before the deadline. That being said, during the summer, you need to see what's out there. You need to listen for offers that are probably going to be better than what they can get between now and Friday next week. So let's wait and see what's going to happen, but I don't believe it's going to be traded.
So we've been giving you sort of a cross Canada test here, but the one other team I need to hear you on is just the Oilers. You mentioned, like, hey, Brad Marchand, an interesting name for them. Stuart Skinner's name, kind of, I see it on Twitter these days, is, hey, is he going to be good enough for them? What do you expect the aggressiveness level will be out of Edmonton?
That's a really good question. And you need to understand one thing. Stuart Skinner is a beloved player.
He is.
Right? And the, you know, he's a goalie that he's a special person, and he's a friendly person, and he's a guy that his teammates like to be around him. So you need to be really careful here, because you can mess with chemistry, and that's something that you don't want to see, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I understand that right now for the Oilers, things are not trending in the right direction. And it's in a way understandable. That was not a great weekend, but is it the end of the world? No, I believe that they can do a lot of damages still. And if they get a guy, I'm going to repeat Brad Marchand type of player, I think everyone's going to be excited again. And everyone is going to say, you know what, here we go. We're going to make that push. And I don't think that it's going to, you know, the chemistry inside that room is going to collapse. It's a big problem, but goaltending needs to be better, and it will. We've seen it before. You know, they went to the Stanley Cup final, and I did that mistake by saying, oh, Oilers goaltending is awful. They're going to collapse during the playoffs. They went to the Stanley Cup final in Game 7. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't make that moves.
You know, just... Yeah, continuing the buzz on maybe a potential Brad Marchand, but nobody's really talking about Evander Kane, or where is he, or how close is he going to come? Like, why, where is he? What is going on there?
You're a really good point.
Hey, you know how it is. So the train deadline is going to go, is going to pass. He's going to still be there. Hey, probably there's a good chance he's going to play game one of the playoffs. What do you say about it? It's still legal.
With Marchand in the lineup as well?
Oh, my God.
Why not? Hey, by the way.
What a deep pair.
Like I said, Brad, you know, he was laughing at all the rumors when we talked to him during the Four Nation face-off. And he said, I'm not going anywhere. And it's all right. And it's totally understandable. And it's his right. But at the end of the day, is he going to still be a Bruin next year? I'm not sure that he's going to be a Bruins next year.
Great stuff as always. Rennie, you got anything else?
I just, you know, Don Sweeney's on the cusp of making some really big decisions there. And there's some people who seem reasonably mad at Don Sweeney in Boston, speaking for their fan base. You know, is he going to preside over some very big decisions like that? I imagine he will. There's no reason to think not, but I'm just saying Bruin fans are a little upset.
Yeah, that question is really important here. You need to understand what's going on in Boston. There's a lot of people who are upset, and I'll say rightly so. You fired one of the best coach in the game, okay? And look at what's happening right now. Now Charlie McAvoy is out probably for the rest of the season. If he's back, there'll be probably 2 weeks left in the season if the Bruins are lucky. So you have... bad signing on July 1st, question mark decision regarding your coaching staff, and now you have one of your best defensemen injured.
The Swayman contract has some people upset, too. He's not doing as good.
And rightly so.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting.
It is what it is, huh?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch it play out in Boston, because they weren't expecting to miss the playoffs under any circumstances, injuries or not. Rennie, great stuff as always, pal. Thanks for joining us on our show.
Always good to talk to you guys, and enjoy the rest of the evening.
You too. Thanks
Renaud
so much.
Renaud Lavoie from TVA. Always got his ear to the ground.
Yeah, the Boston thing's kind of fascinating, right?
When we had him on earlier in the year, along with you, he was one of the only guys I ever heard mention Rantanen potentially to get traded. Mm-hmm. And he had mentioned it really early on our show, and he brings up in jest Marchand to the Oilers.
Feels done.
I got to tell you, nothing's ever made more sense than that to me. Yeah. That is just the perfect type of guy to go in there.
How about a Perry Marchand Kane line?
I don't like that.
Ooh.
What is that bug on the desk? What the
hell? Oh, look at that, eh?
What is it?
You know, it must be the time of year. I saw one of those earlier today, too. Oh, gross. Really?
Well, what am I supposed to do?
I don't know.
How big is that? Is that a cockroach?
My God.
We talk about Brad Marchand and cockroaches.
I can't believe you. What?
That's gonna rain tomorrow.
No, that's if you lick your ice cream ball.
What?
Oh, on your wedding. I don't know.
What are you talking about?
Let's take a break so we can get talking to a stink.
But no, okay. Well, let us get it back on the rails here. Marchand to the Oilers makes too much sense. Do you think that would happen?
Oh, I got bug juice all over me now.
You got to take a break so we can go watch his myth. Well, this is a sizable animal he just killed.
It is. I could have been killed.
The next Steve Irwin. What happened to Kip? Oh, you should have seen it. It was awful.
An alligator.
Damn alligator bit my hand off.
Am I eligible for workman's comp or anything?
I think you are.
Okay, we're taking a break. We're going to put it back on the rails. It's not even Friday, guys.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I don't know. Do we have a guest?
No, we don't. Okay, but we got lots to talk about.
When we return.
Just trust us.
To Real Kipper Born and an unidentified bug.
Yes. Ugh, bye.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Real Kipper and Born edition of our show, National Edition. As a reminder, this hour, Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Little game time as we continue to bug out here on our show. Did you identify that thing?
It's gross. Your mic's on. Turn your mic. Oh, there you go.
I put it at the very front there if anyone...
It's very quite gross.
Yeah. I think they can get a close-up of it.
I don't know if we can do that. I don't know. Oh! We're getting. Oh, it feels like we're getting ready for one.
Like we're trying straight to the very front tip here.
I don't think we're getting one. All right. Fair enough. It's just a squish bug. We've all seen that before. There it is.
Oh, we're close. So do I have to move it? Where's that's in front of your computer? Yeah. We're trying our best.
Okay. All right.
All right. Let's do a show.
Good job, guys. Way to go,
good
Jake.
Good TV.
Yeah. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So just a couple future things because there's only two games on the ice tonight. If we sit here right now, who do you think the two favorites to win the Stanley Cup are? And this is a terrible way to form that question because there's 1, 2, 3, 4 teams tied at the second highest odds. And there's one team that has the highest odds.
Is it Washington, Winnipeg?
Nope, it is not. The Edmonton Oilers are still the favorite to win the Stanley Cup, plus 700. The next four teams, Carolina, 9-1.
No thanks.
Washington Capitals, 9-1.
Also no thanks.
Toronto Maple Leafs, 9-1. And Winnipeg Jets, 9-1.
Oh, yeah.
You're not showing the Capitals any love. They just absolutely ate Edmonton up on the weekend.
They were so good in that game.
And you're you don't like them. They're not flashy enough for you?
I look at their roster and I don't go, yeah, that's a cup winning team. Like Rasmus Sandin, top pair. Sure, they're going to win the cup.
But they've turned him into a defenseman.
Okay. No. If he was here in the Leafs, you'd be saying something about him being top pair. You know, yeah, like. Chychrun,
20 goal scorer, Chychrun. Okay, he's having a career year.
No, he's great. He certainly has done great for them.
They're good.
They're good.
They're big. Watch that whole game yesterday.
And Ovi's on pace for how many goals this year? 50 plus.
Yeah.
No, I'm not buying it.
Okay.
How many? We should mention that he's now what? 13 away.
I'm just going.
Look how excited you guys are.
Oh, I just can't wait.
Yeah, or we're having a ceremony for every goal from here on. Do we tell people yet? Great chase.
Just want to bring up, looking down the list a little bit, love the Vegas Golden Knights at 13-1.
Yeah,
that's a good bet.
You know, that's really, really good bet.
Good value on that one.
The Winnipeg one's my number.
And the two other things I was just going to bring up, there's two games on the ice tonight. The Winnipeg Jets are hosting the San Jose Sharks. I believe that's the Amazon game tonight.
Minus 450?
Minus 550. If you want to wager on the Winnipeg Jets, they're minus 550. You could do worse than a Sharks bet. Plus 4-1, that's like a good parlay on one game. And then there's a really good game later on. 10:30 puck drop. I know Kipper will be watching this entire game. The Vegas Golden Knights in L.A. to take on the Kings. Hey, our boy Kevin, his team won in the big
Kevin Zegers.
Yeah. And their big
Yes.
That LA Team Strong Red. Event was fantastic.
Did you watch it?
I did. I watched a little. It was really well done. Yeah, Snoop and Will Ferrell.
I feel like we undersold it a little bit. How
yeah,
good
Steve
it was.
Carell's out there playing. Bieber's playing. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
Danny DeVito.
Yeah, DeVito was on the bench.
Was he on like a crate behind the bench?
Maybe.
I mean, he could be a listener, so I don't want to. You know, we got all these actors.
Well, I think he knows he's short.
Yeah. I don't think it was
breaking news, Sammy.
I just couldn't believe the talent and then the participation from, you know, we had our own Bieksa and Ron McLean were involved, and that was a really well done thing for a very important cause. That was great.
And I wanted to do one more quick thing as I'm trying to pick it up. The make the playoffs odds. Looking at the bottom of the list here, I'm trying to find the Vancouver Canucks. The Vancouver Canucks are still minus 200 to make the playoffs. The Calgary Flames plus 260. So it was... They still believe in Vancouver, and we're going to probably talk about Vancouver coming in.
Plus 260 to make playoffs?
They are. Plus 260.
You should take that bet.
Yeah.
So in our first hour, we were talking about...
Wrap it up here, and then we'll get into everything else. So that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Ovechkin good enough at this age to win a cup as their first line left wing?
Well, he's just going to play 2 minutes on the power play. I know that.
A sledgehammer over there.
Find ways to maybe some nice play really, 15 minutes, 16 minutes. He's not 20. He's not 22, but he can still shoot it in the net.
God, it was good to see him hit a classic OV. Like, when this happens, I just hope he shoots it in that way. Mm-hmm. There's no point in having to be a tip in or something.
Or an empty netter.
Oh, my God. You're empty netters, I get. Tip-ins? You're not happy with a tip-in?
No, I want an Alex Ovechkin classic.
Oh, gosh.
The goal
he
scored.
I don't think it really matters.
Well, it doesn't really matter.
As long as it's not an empty net.
You'd like to see him bomb one past the goalie and get to...
Like...
Empty net.
Yeah, empty... Listen, I've never...
Presumably, they're
going to
shut the game
down. Over the course of my career that I've played or I've watched as a broadcaster, once again, watching on the weekend, people get, like, freebies, 2 goals a game, 3 goals a game, empty nets. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. The game's over. You don't need to pull the goalie anymore and just give up another freebie. Kind of bothers me.
Does bother you.
The second, the Carolina one where the Leafs got the 6-3 was an absurd empty netter. Where it was like, there was 5-3, there was under a minute left, and they get another one. It's like, come on.
Was that the Holmberg
yes.
one?
Yes.
And then you get to tell people we won 6-3, and like, oh, you smoked them. And it's like, no, we almost lost the game. We almost blew it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what point I was making.
But no, you want Ovi's record-breaking goal to be a hammer.
I was going to say, so like right now he's scheduled by pace to take the record over like April 10th or something. It could be a very meaningful hockey game for someone.
What does he have? 26 games remaining? So he just needs to score a goal every other game, basically?
Yeah, that sounds about right. They've played 57, so he's got 25 games to go.
25.
Needs 13 goals to get there. Like, they're going to shut down whatever game he scores it in, I presume. To tie it or to beat it? Well, which is the big deal?
Beat.
So
I think probably both.
Tie, do you think they'll make a big deal?
I would imagine.
Yeah, I think so too.
And you said what? He's on pace for April 10th? Is that what you
said?
Yeah,
I read that somewhere today that was the date. The Caps got to...
And Gretzky's got to follow him around. I think Commissioner Bettman's got to follow him around. Right?
Like Gretzky, I presume, wants to be there. And
all I remember
is... And with Ovi, once he's within three, you got to be around.
All I remember when Gretzky did it in Buffalo, I think, a record-breaking goal, I think, 76 to beat Phil Esposito. Goldie Hawn and Burt Reynolds were there.
Oh, yeah? Hey, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Those are big names.
That's a big deal.
You got the Caps schedule going there
I'm
yet?
Looking at it right here. They play the Carolina Hurricanes on April 10th. And that is that a home? It's a home game, April 10th.
There you go.
And then they go on the road to play Columbus the 12th, and then a back-to-back with Columbus. So
does he do it this year?
Yes. No question, yes.
Yes, no question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he should do it next year because there's more money to be made for Washington in the league if you drag it out.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Do you think they're making any money off this?
I don't know.
They got a logo for it, the Great Chase.
Any sponsor on it?
I don't think so.
And in his career, he has not scored. He's scored the most goals of his career against the Carolina Hurricanes. 51 goals in 91 games.
Yep. By the way, Alex Ovechkin could have 13 goals by March. So
actually, I lied. The Winnipeg Jets is the number. I agree with these. Be the Thrashers.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yep. Anyways,
all right.
There you go.
Some news and notes to clean up. Trevor Zegras suspended 3 games on a hit on Detroit's Rasmussen, which is a shame that his first professional hockey hit gets suspended.
Oh, jeez. It looked like a guy who doesn't throw a lot of hits. That's a bad hit. It's late. It's blindside. It's to the head. It's a bad, bad hit.
Yeah, if Kadri throws out when he gets 10.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. This is like you've never been in trouble yet.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the game, so I don't know how the hit kind of came about, but he just seems to be probably a little frustrated over maybe his season or his career. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that one really felt out of context to me. I don't really have an answer for why it happened, but he is, he's under a hit per game in his career, so it doesn't throw a lot of
it. Wasn't that long ago we were talking about him being one of the brightest stars in our game. And, of course, the magic around a Michigan or a pass over a net.
Oh, my God, that's still one of the most amazing.
Right?
That's still one of the most amazing. But, like, Sonny Milano batted in midair.
But you know what, Kip? I believe now more than I've ever believed in too soon. Too much too soon.
Cover of a video game?
You know, yeah. And, you know, you've talked about giving guys money before they've earned it, like the young contracts. Like, yeah, we're going to pay this guy because the Jack Hughes contract looks amazing. And everyone thinks they have Jack Hughes. But then, like, the Sabres end up paying a bunch of guys who did it once and haven't been able to replicate the best of it. And it does feel like sometimes these guys think it's going to be easy, and maybe Zegras is one of those.
Maybe we're to blame a little bit, too, just from...
You and me?
Media, hey, maybe World Junior coverage, because we hype them up like crazy, and they're these can't-miss superstars. Uh-oh. And
Who are you talking to?
I think we could kind of look at Zegras and Bedard a little bit too here going, I watched Bedard against the Toronto Maple Leafs and I'm like, I don't really get the excitement just yet at the pro level. I watched him do amazing things in junior hockey, but I've also seen other guys do amazing things in junior hockey in their careers.
There's an S and an N in the network to blame and it ain't us, pal.
Am I wrong on saying that maybe the overhype on some of these guys have set them up a little bit?
But it's hard.
He's had good years.
Who's that?
Zegras. Like, when he came into the league, he scored 20 goals.
Good years.
Yeah, in multiple
years. But not superstar.
No.
And certainly not, I don't think.
What's funny is we're trying to...
I don't think the words generational were ever followed with Zegras like they were Connor Bedard, but certainly one of the best young players in our game, he sat very much near the top of the list.
I do think, and this is a genuine question, not a rhetorical, how were Taylor Hall's first couple years in Edmonton? I genuinely don't remember, and I'm sure there's some Oilers fans who are incensed about that. My point with this is I think it's really hard when you play on a really bad team, and I'm trying to think of who would have been terrible teams.
Now, if Taylor
Hall was very similar output-wise to what Zegras was in his... He had 22 goals. He had 22 goals and 27 goals in his first 2 years in Edmonton.
I've been hitting the head over the few years, so I can't really remember, but Taylor Hall, obviously, in Edmonton, was a great young star, but I'm not sure he sat at the top of the mountain.
He's the first
way that Bedard does?
Like the way Bedard did, or Zegras with their respective clubs. If I'm not mistaken, Taylor Hall,
him and Tyler Seguin
Taylor and Eberle, Tyler. And Nugent Hopkins all got the same contract. I think they all went from like whatever they were at to $6 million, and I think they're all kind of equal.
So there's no pressure to be.
So there wasn't necessarily like you're well above everyone else.
My poorly crafted point is just I feel like Bedard is dying in Chicago. He doesn't have a guy to play off. you know? Like,
I know.
It's tough to grow, let alone be good.
It is.
Now, Celebrini's doing pretty well in San Jose.
He's playing with Will Smith. He's got, you know, like, that's a young guy that's coming up the same age as him. Like, you watch Bedard last night, and you can see the habits creeping in here, boys. Yeah. Like, it's playing on a bad team, losing every night. It's
even where he is in certain areas, the ice, and, like, nothing really stood out for me. Like, you don't need points to follow someone oh, my gosh, did you see that? Did you see that? Oh, that there's signs there.
To my previous point, that's Celebrini. You're watching San Jose who stinks, and you go, oh, but
geez, yes,
watch that.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't get that out of Bedard. And, again, it's hard. He's got national commercials. He's been on covers of magazines and billboards, and he's built as the greatest thing for Chicago. And it's like, whoa, comes out and plays 21 minutes, his first, like, 100 games of his career with nobody around him. And it's like, now they're taking a few runs at him. He's been bounced around. He's broken his jaw. He's hasn't been a rip-roaring start for this guy in his career.
It's crazy. Like, last year, he's 22 goals, 61 points.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah, this year he's already got 50.
For any first-round pick, that's fantastic.
You know, 25 games to go, and he's at 50 points. Like, he'll end up with whatever, you know, roughly 70 or 60.
70.
Yeah, somewhere in that range. Which, good year, but to your point, maybe it feels like the ceiling of what he'll be is one of the really, really good players in the league and not, like, Crosby.
Not to bring it back to my beloved Team Canada, but I'm about to. You know, you looked ahead to the Olympics next year. I just can't picture him. Like, could you picture him anywhere near that game we watched on Thursday night? It's just like...
Well, to Justin's point, how much better is Chicago going to get between now and an Olympic break?
Oh, right, so what's his chance of looking like a hockey player?
Yeah. In 10 months, 9 months. How much is he going to look a lot stronger? Is he going to turn that into more goals? Is he...
Like, none of me sits here today and go, God, he'd have been better than anyone on Canada. You know, like, I think he's probably outside the top 30 forwards for Canada right now. You're missing Hyman, Shifley, Wilson. You go through the guys who weren't there.
You'll have lots of time to build chemistry with Mitch Marner, though, so maybe.
There you go. They'll have good they'll have half a couple the months year to... or something.
Or Rantanen or both.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, if they move Seth Jones' money, they could get both.
Yeah.
I mean, if they move Seth Jones' money, they have to get to the floor. Yeah. They honestly do. Okay, a few other things.
Vancouver? Or Edmonton.
Yeah, okay.
Also, Hartman's suspension got dialed back.
Oh, okay. We were talking about Matthews' inconsistency with producing for the Toronto Maple Leafs in our Leaf Edition Hour. Where are you with Petey now and coming back? And maybe he should have taken the weekend off?
I asked the question on Twitter today. If your team could take on Pettersson for no asset right now, $11.6 million for 8 years, would you do it? Which is an insane thing to ask, because years ago, I mean, not that long ago, he scored 102 points and 40 goals.
It's crazy.
Would you want him for free right now, that contract?
I don't know.
I don't know if you do. I think you do.
Oh, my gosh. I'd take him free.
You would.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah. And like, just hope that it's 8 years, Kip. The deal.
I know.
So
I know.
You think it's coming back. Right now, 11 goals and 35 points in 51 games.
I think there's still value there. I know it's expensive, but I'm a billionaire. I own an NHL team.
And
I don't really care.
Up, it's not. Yeah. You're right. I don't really care. But do the Canucks value him over what they would value the money? Will they hang on to him?
I think there's a reason why Miller's gone and he's still here. And age is one of them. Mm-hmm. There's just way more still upside for a much younger player. And I just think it's too early between now and what the trade deadline is. What, 10 days? You're going to make this major decision?
No, you're not. You're in a playoff fight. You're never getting better by trading.
Not a snowball's chance.
With Matthews and Morgan Riley, they're not their best so far this year, but all you can do is cross your fingers and hope it gets better.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing else you can do.
Gary.
I was just going to say after the game yesterday. This is from Ian McIntyre's piece on Sportsnet.ca after the game. Said, we've talked about how he has to move his feet and can't double clutch. Canucks coach Rick Tocchet told Sportsnet Sunday after his main press scrum ended. I think he's waiting for something. I don't know if it's a lack of confidence in his shot, but as soon as he has room, he's got to take it. And he's just got to blast it. I'd rather him just rip a puck right now. He's not moving his feet. I thought today some shifts he was moving his feet, and then it looked like we had some glimpses. On 6-on-5 at the end, it's the same thing, waiting. If he just takes 3 or 4 strides, I don't know if it's a mental block right now, all year, but he's got to move his feet.
Oh, boy, buddy.
Talk, it's like, I'm sorry, but talk, it's like, please let me coach the Flyers.
He's just begging them to be better.
Yeah.
What else can you do?
Yeah.
In other news, Ryan Hartman's suspension
went from 10 to 8
on a NHLPA appeal, which is quite convenient during
hoping to slide under the radar
CBA negotiations.
All everyone's making nice, is that what you think?
I don't think it's so much making nice than making a point that if and supplemental discipline is negotiated, right? You got to agree to a CBA with it. Mm-hmm. So if the feeling was that the appeal goes to the commissioner only and not an independent arbitrator, I have to show that it can work in your favor sometimes.
Yeah, that's good, Kip. That's good. That's a good angle, right? If every time you appeal to the guy who made the decision in the first place, you get shot down, what's the point of this process?
What's the point? So let me throw you a bone while we're negotiating. So the next time it comes up, I can tell you it works.
Yeah, you know, we changed Pionk's suspension. We bend. We'll bend for you. We'll work with you. We don't need to change the process. It's fine.
Only you would think of that. That is the most Kipper angle I've ever heard.
For someone who's always got an angle, he sees the angles.
What the hell? How'd you think of that one?
No, the reason is because I didn't think you shoved his face in the ice as hard as everyone else did.
You know, that's a great point, too. It was probably a 10-game suspension.
12?
Yeah, it could have been a couple more than
14?
That. 14? Oilers, you sent that tweet earlier to our group.
Also in our group is, who's that golfer that hit 1,000 miles to the right and it kicked back into play?
Yeah, Brian Campbell, not to be confused with the former NHL defenseman.
The tweet was from, here it is, Chris Yastrzemski. He's a TNT guy, I believe. Against the top two teams in each division this season, Edmonton is now 1-8-2 and have been outscored 45-27. So point being, the Oilers against good teams haven't been very good. In the playoffs, you're going to play a lot of good teams.
I just worry about their depth everywhere.
Everywhere.
Outside of the net.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
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 So their only problems are goaltending, defense, and forwards?
I'm not as concerned as the goaltender as I am their blue line.
Yeah, so the blue line, Klingy's been okay. I didn't,
2-5 in their games with him.
Have they?
Yeah,
it's not great.
No. So,
but he's starting to move a little bit.
There is
like my 85 Volvo in high school.
Gets so, around.
Matthew Tkachuk ended up getting going to see some doctors, I think, in New York, and there is a buzz coming out of New York City that he may end up on the Jimmy Fallon show tonight.
Really? Really?
Matthew Tkachuk's going to be on Fallon, huh?
Well,
go talk about that big fat L they took. That'll be great. Hey, how'd it feel to lose?
He's
Canada.
Aw, he's growing the game. He's growing the game.
You'll be a hater about this.
Oh, I can't stand him. Of course I'm going to hate on him. Sure, good for him. Good. But what's he going to talk about?
Icing his groin.
Beating his, you know what?
He should have an ice pack.
He should. He should be getting treatment while he's talking to him.
That's a tough. Is that not like a tough spot for like Fallon? Not Fallon is a hockey guy though.
Yeah, he like goes to the Rangers.
Yeah.
Interviewing a guy.
Oh yeah, he loves MSG, baby.
I guess. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Great.
No, it's all about growing the game.
Go hockey, go.
Yeah. No. Listen. Roll with it. We got to sell this game in the U.S.
HRR, baby.
Speaking of U.S., enjoy your vacation. He's gone for a week.
That's right. Tomorrow we bring in Gord Stellick to replace you. You're going to take some time off. I'm jealous.
And he's going to come back broke.
Disney, baby.
All right, everybody. Our thanks to Rennie Lavoie from TVA for joining us. Enjoy your quiet Monday night. We're back again tomorrow on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Have a great night, everybody.